Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two already on Taco Tuesday. So we're going to head forward here. We got coming on the line with us somebody who knows politics, both state and national. So Todd Stacey is the he's the grand poobah at Alabama Daily News, but he is prior to that spent a lot of time working in D.C., most notably with Congresswoman Martha Roby, and also, by the way, in the Speaker's office down in Montgomery. So, yeah, Todd Stacey's kind of seen a little bit of politics. Let's get his thoughts on what's going on with the debate for tonight. Todd Stacey, how you doing?
I'm great, Phil. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks for making time. So let me just give you your unvarnished thoughts right out the gate. What do you expect tonight on this much vaunted debate between Trump and Harris?
Well, I can't say that I know what I expect because I think this is pretty unpredictable. But I will say that I think it's a very, very important debate. And that's kind of not always the case. You know, presidential debates don't always matter that much, especially when they're, you know, they're usually in October.
Yeah,
and they're pretty late into the season, and most people have their minds made up. I mean, there are a couple of examples, obviously, over the years where they did matter. Earlier this year, we obviously had a debate that mattered very much.
I mean, it completely
changed the race. I mean, just think about if that debate had not happened, you know, what would be happening right now? So the way I see it is, you know, the playbook for Trump should be pretty simple. Keep it on the rails. Don't remind people of the bad things about his presidency. Remind people about the good things of his presidency, the economy, tougher on immigration, a more aggressive foreign policy, a safer world. You know, those things alone. Well, I put inflation with the economy. Those were the good things about his presidency that people should be reminded of.
Yeah.
But don't go crazy and remind people of the bad things about your presidency, the weird tweets, the weird statements, the, you know, seemingly out of control. So if he just keeps it on the rails, he's fine. Really, the onus is on Harris. This is her night to make or break her candidacy. The honeymoon is over. I think the polling shows that. She's got to make her case. Why should people actually vote for her? If she spends all night just attacking Trump and trying to, you know, call him a criminal and call him this or that, I really don't think that meets the mark. People are trying to tune in. I'm talking about voters who are undecided.
Yeah.
That are going to tune in to see, is this somebody that I want to see in the Oval Office, that I want to see leading our country for the next 4 years? Can she fill that role? That's really all the pressure's on her, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. I said something similar a little while ago. And the truth be told, she has been avoiding the camera, so she almost has to come out and prove that she can do this, because part of the narrative has been against her is you're spending zero time in front of a camera speaking extemporaneously and answering hard questions. And so now here we go. It's not going to be pre-recorded. It's not going to be edited. It's not going to be with a friendly, you know, commentator. It's going to be you on stage with the guy that you've been, you know, decrying now for the last 4 years.
Right. And, you know, even when she did do an interview, she had to bring her VP as you know, a training wheels a little bit. So, yeah. And I think that's what hurts. You know, if you're, you know, the better trained you are in this, look, she went through some debates in 2020 in the Democratic primary for president, but by most accounts did not do well.
No.
And so she's not exactly known as a great debater. One factor I think is positive for Trump going into this is the polling has kind of rebounded for him. It's at least back to a, you know, head-to-head race, a really nose-and-nose race. In fact, plenty of polls show him leading back again. I think that's probably good for his psyche. I think it's pretty clear that he did not handle the switch at the top of the ticket very well, especially when the polls started coming in showing her, you know, with a real nice honeymoon, real big bounce. That kind of, it seemed to kind of get in his head. And he started going off script a lot and really wasn't very well disciplined. Now the polling is caught up. So you would think that maybe he doesn't feel so much that his back is to the wall. Maybe he feels like he's got some winded his back a little bit and maybe is less, you know, frazzled by that initial polling bump, maybe that could be a factor in his favor.
Yeah, and I think you make a great point earlier, too, that if what I would call policy Trump shows up, I think he does much better than if he, like we had that one debate in the 2020 when he had Joe Biden on stage and just launched on him. And I thought he just lost the race tonight. And that was yeah. my perspective as a somebody who was supporting him. I felt that way. But
yeah, that's why they want the open mics.
Exactly.
That's why Kamala wants the open mics, because I agree with you, Phil. I think that's exactly when Trump lost that race. If he'd have just let Biden talk, which he couldn't do very well, he'd have been fine. But he kept interrupting him. And of course, Harris wants that exact same thing. So it's interesting that, you know, Trump's team has secured that, you know, rule in place, which really could be a factor tonight.
Well, and apparently that rule was actually predetermined to support Biden, who was trying to avoid having a repeat of 2020's interruptions. And now Harris is stuck with it. And she would have to declare why it's necessary for me to have a different rule than what our side had already negotiated. I look at this too, and I think, you know, there are times when Trump is really funny. I mean, he can be snarky, he can be rude, and that's in some ways that also endears him to some of his base, and I get that. But when he is just like witty but insulting at the same time, it actually works. Like if you remember when he had he could have really just torn a new one for Biden in that June debate, but he kind of let Biden do it to himself, except a couple of times. Like at one point, I remember Trump says, I don't know what you just said, and I'm not sure you know what you just said. That was a great line. You could replay that one on campaign ads over and over again. Of course, now it's not necessary, but that's what's going to happen. If he can be that kind of guy tonight, I think that's his win.
I agree, and the gender difference is really interesting too. And there was this story we ran from AP the other day about kind of comparing, looking back at the Trump-Clinton debate, and because there's always maybe amongst typical politicians, like a Mike Pence, say, that look, you're debating a woman, you're going to be on your most gentlemanly behavior. That's just sort of what comes natural to a lot of us, right? But Trump is not that kind of candidate.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, he took it right to Hillary Clinton.
Yes, he did.
And was not shy about, you know, really roughing her up in the figurative sense. And if you remember, one of the great lines from that debate was to your point about being a little rude, but, you know, tongue in cheek. You know, she makes this comment about, well, you know, it's just great that somebody like you is not in charge of law enforcement in this country. And he comes back immediately and says, because you'd be in jail.
Yeah.
I remember and it was that. Just, I mean, is that rude? Yeah. Is it crude? Yeah. Is it presidential? No. But man, it worked. And it just undercut everything about he was not shy about taking it to her. And I think that rallied a lot of people to his base. I'm not saying he should go out there and act like an ass tonight, but I don't think he's going to shy away from, you know, taking the fight to her when it matters, you know, on things like the border, on things like her previously liberal record, and especially the Biden economy. I think that's the if he does anything to attack her tonight, to land anything, it's got to be on the economy.
Yeah, I agree. I think the economy and the southern border are the two things that he can hammer over and over again, because if he can tie her. I mean, what's amazing to me is they are trying to pretend that she's not been in office for the last 3.5 years. And that's almost, it's insulting to get down to it, but it's galling. But if he can continually point out that she's talking about what she'll do on day one while she's still in office now, I think it really kind of almost lampoons her and then puts her in the position of having to defend where they've been. And I think that's an important piece. Hey, I got to say this too, about 2016 with Hillary, the debate. One thing that I remember that just you could see it got all in Hillary's head was Trump did not stand at his podium. He walked around behind her and she didn't know what was happening. You could see her almost wanting to look over her shoulder, but she knew she shouldn't. But it was distracting her like nobody's business. And so it was just funny to me that Trump was a pacer, but that had her all off her game. It was amusing to watch.
Yeah, that's a great point. And you know, if you look back at the times that Trump has won debates, or at least just kind of come out on top one way or the other, sometimes it's not necessarily his performance it's how his opponents react to him. I mean, I'm going back to 2015, 2016, and those Republican primary debates that were, for a lot of us who were supporting other candidates, just infuriating, because you can try to prepare for a debate in the traditional sense, and he just comes in like a wrecking ball and busts it all up.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you think about a Marco Rubio, or you think about a Jeb Bush, or, you know, so many candidates just crashed against him. You know, it wasn't necessarily that he did so well, it's that their reaction to him revealed something about themselves that was, you know, not appealing to voters.
Yeah.
And I think you say the same about Hillary Clinton. And again, going back to 2020, he did not allow Biden to do those reactions that would have had the same effect. So if he keeps it on the rails tonight, I think this could be a turning point for the campaign. But again, it's all about Kamala Harris. If she comes out, acts, and can keep it together, can seem cogent, can seem, you know, like a strong leader, you know, capable leader, can string some sentences together, I think that would really help her chances, especially, you know, she only needs a few states. If she can win Georgia and North Carolina, she's probably taking this thing.
Well, yeah, and then Pennsylvania is also the big wild card. I think they're running close up there, too. Let me ask you this, with about a minute to go, is her tendency to have these word salads, these kind of ridiculous phraseologies, is it a nervous reaction or is it a lack of preparation reaction? I'm wondering.
I think it's both. I mean, she's pretty well documented in, you know, she doesn't like staff time. She doesn't like to read her briefing books.
Yeah.
There are all kinds of stories out there about that
in
the last 4 years. So, yeah, preparation has got to be that. But, yeah, look, you can't just crash study for a debate. You know, you've got to have some thoughts of your own, some basic world views of your own. I think that's what her problem is sometimes, is she doesn't come from a specific world view or ideology where you kind of believe basic things. She's kind of been a chameleon. And so I think that, you know, it's hard to just put 2 minutes of words into your mouth without coughing up some kind of phrase because you really don't understand it.
That's a great point. All right, we got to leave it there, man. Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News. If folks want to find you or read your news sites, what can they go to?
It's easy. It's just aldailynews.com. And also watch Capital Journal on Alabama Public Television, Friday nights at 7:30 and Sundays at noon.
And I forgot to mention that earlier, so thank you for bringing that in. All right, man. Appreciate you, man. Have a great day.
You bet.
All right. Big Rig, take us to the break, brother. We'll do that right now. And we'll wind up taking some text messages when we get back and then switching gears to Immigration Nation Part 2. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right and we will be back.